Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Does. It settles in your soul. Good morning, Jeffersonians. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter.
Good morning.
We are here with our trusted producer.
Travis.
We have to have a good nickname for you, you know? We
got I couldn't come up with a joke with that, sorry.
Well, you always wear a hat. I was going to say the lid. But people who are around in the 60s may take that for something else.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not from the 60s, but I know what that means.
They might be knocking at the door for a lid.
They might be. Broadcasting live, KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better.
Better, much better.
If you have a question or comment, 605-4567, 605-4567. Very interesting, folks. It seems that we have a self-declared president.
Yeah.
With a self-declared word of truth from the Associated Press and the rest of the news media. Very interesting.
Well, to quote one of our great friends, Chris Ann Hall, who knows a thing or two about the Constitution. Number one, no president is elected in November. Number two, the call of a president of the United States election in November is a projection, not a reality. Number three, the vote takes place in December, and the count is in January, and it's on January 6th. Number four, only then will you know who is president of the United States. Number five, the Electoral College vote is the only one that counts and does not necessarily follow projections. There you go.
Thank you, Chris Ann. You know, in a few minutes here, we should have Congressman LaMalfa calling in, and we're kind of excited about that and the fact that, you know, I've seen some changes in different people. I've seen changes in where their positions are. Yesterday, the congressman gave a very, very good speech during the prayer time that people set aside on Machelli Lane under the flag, pray for our nation, and they followed that up with a caravan of cars, flags, Trump flags, American flags, you name it. I think that we're looking at a crossroads here. We're looking at a crossroads of, we all know that the COVID virus was leverage used by the left. You know, how can you have a pandemic when 99.3% of the people that get this particular virus recover? You know, this is going to be a difficult path for Donald Trump, but the real deal is how much of this crap are you willing to swallow? How much of this are you willing to believe, these falsehoods, these lies? And what Chris Ann just said is absolutely the truth. And I hope when the congressman does come on, I'd like him to speak about Article 2 and the 12th Amendment. Because I think that's something that's very important for people to understand. I think that, you know, we're looking at spiritual warfare here. There's no question about that. There's no question about the fact that the pastors have to stand up and the moral majority has to stand up. It's been one of those things where, you know, people have just sort of, you know, put themselves aside as sheep. Well, you know, if we look at Jesus when he was in the temple, did he look like a sheep to you? What would Jesus do? Well, you saw what he did there. Remember that he is the Lion of Judah. He's the Lion of Judah. So I think that with that, my friend, you were at that rally yesterday. And
I was.
What'd you think?
I thought it was awesome. We got there. the Toys for Tots group was there before we were. They were collecting toys for kids and whatnot, and they were just wrapping up their program. And we told them what was going to be going on. So a couple of them hung over and stayed with us and checked out what was going on. Pastor Stark came in and gave a beautiful prayer. Mm. And he knows how to hit all the buttons. And he did a stellar job on doing that. And I want to thank Pastor Stark for doing that for all of us. That was wonderful. And then Melissa emceed the program. And it was very organic. It was just, you know, this is what we're doing. This is what we'd like to do, you know, as far as, you know, okay, if you have something to say, come up and say it. Most people came up and said things about prayer and talked and quoted the Bible. And, you know, were huge words of encouragement to just have faith. And so, you know, it was really good to see that. And then Congressman LaMalfa went up and spoke. He was asked to speak if he would, and he did. And it was very good to hear what he had to say, too, because he had a lot of really good tidbits of information for people to understand, you know, to hang tight, to be patient, and to know that when the time comes, he will call for help. Because right now, everybody's wanting to do something. Well, the time isn't right yet. We have to wait. And that's the hardest part of this whole process, is being patient and waiting. And so we have to be patient. And during our course of patience, that's when we pray. And we do our best to make sure that we have everything taken care of on the home front. And we get everything dealt with that we need to get dealt with on the home front so that you are able to do what needs to be done when the time comes. So just hang in there and be patient and have faith. That's the biggest thing, is just having faith. And if you don't know God now or don't know God yet, this is a great time to do that. You know, I know, Terry, you've been a Christian for many years. I've been a Christian for years. We do have faith. And without it, can you imagine the hot messes that we would be? Especially Terry. Oh, my gosh.
You're laughing about Travis.
We would be a hot mess. We have to turn it over to the Lord, and he takes it and runs with it, and either puts us right back in the middle of the frying pan, or we get it dealt with. So,
yeah, just how many people do you think that voted for Trump? There were 71 million. How many of those people think that the vote wasn't rigged? I mean, you know, seriously.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at all just all the stuff, I know you guys have all heard it. You've all heard it on the news. You've all heard it in social media. You've all read the tweets. You've all read the Facebook posts, et cetera. And everybody understands the fact this thing was rigged. There's no question about it. I mean, it's like what Matt said on Liberty Unabashed, and he was right. Do you really think that people were actually, they would really vote for a guy who has dementia, who's an empty shell, who's been a career politician, who arguably can't put two words together without medication? I mean, seriously?
Right.
You know, as we look at this whole thing, we're looking at, where is the truth? Where does that truth lie? And I think that, this thing may go to SCOTUS. Who knows? The Supreme Court. It may go. If it does, I think that, you know, the part that has to go is the fact that, you know, the votes are supposed to be in a specific time. It's supposed to be done specifically. That is law. It's been passed through the legislative body. It's been signed off by governors and the president. So, hey, here's the deal. How can a court just say, we'll give it three more days? Yeah. All right, let's just give it three more days. Let's just do it, right? Well, you know, again, it's the court systems being corrupt. Now, what I heard this morning is that the Senate is still going to be confirming more judges as long as they can, and that'll be a great thing for the United States. And, you know, I think the main thing we need to be looking at here is the understanding that God is in control. But when God's in control, it doesn't mean we don't do anything.
That's right.
It doesn't mean we sit around and wait to be raptured while we're having a McFlurry.
He's expecting us to take action and to be militant and do what we need to do.
As he always had. And with that, we have Congressman LaMalfa on the line. Morning, Doug. How you doing, bud?
Morning, Doug.
Morning. How are you?
Good.
Good. Yesterday, yesterday when you were out in front of the flagpole, I watched that. I watched it being streamed. I had something else to do. Sally was streaming it. It was pretty amazing. And first of all, I want to thank you because, you know, one of the things about our congressman is that he's available.
Yep.
We have local officials that are far less available than Doug is.
And when Doug was in assembly, he was available.
Exactly, and the Senate.
And then as a congressman, he's available. So he understands the game.
We want to thank you about that. So anyway, what say you about this whole mess?
Well, I think I'll reiterate part of yesterday and what I think just about anybody that's on the side of due process says the media and the other campaign does not call the elections. You know, there's a process to be done here, and there's reviews that need to be made, and there's investigations that need to continue. So even though we're getting browbeaten to say, oh, it's over, you need to just concede, you need to be graceful. Well, I won't compare ourselves to the other side for very long here, but so we didn't hear any of that 4 years ago. Hillary Clinton never stopped saying that it was a disputed election, and they were basing that all on a bunch of Russia-based stuff. I mean, you know, and stuff that was later proven to be bogus time and time again. So we don't need to play by any of these people's rules here. There's much work to be done. There's votes to be counted, and there's votes to be challenged. And so we're just going to keep our head down and keep moving forward with all the tools we have in our toolkit to see that the questions are answered that we have about this election.
Now, did you send off a letter to someone in particular, or were you part of a team that did that?
Oh, yes. We have a letter of about at least 60 of us House Republicans that was sent a couple, 3 days ago to Attorney General Barr, asking him, you know, reaffirming that this is how we think about this, and that we want he and his team to do as much investigation as possible on the allegations in every state where there's a question, you know. So that it's just, I imagine they are looking at that himself, but it's always good to show that he has people behind him prodding and also watching, right?
Right, exactly.
Now, yesterday you had mentioned, you know, how this thing really works under Article 2 in the 12th Amendment. Can you explain that to the folks so they get an idea of how that really works?
Well, Article 2 in the Constitution originally laid out that the process for electing the president and putting him in place, him or her. So what you back up to is that the first president was actually chosen by legislatures. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the popular vote. The popular vote came on over time on a state-level basis. Now, you know, don't confuse that with people out there pushing for national popular vote. The founders had very strong reasons why they wanted every state to be its own unit in their elections for themselves or for national purpose, too. So when we're talking about the presidential, the original setup was that the states would send electors chosen by their legislature at the time. They would choose electors who would then reflect the wishes of that state, and those electors would go be part of the whole process in Washington, D.C. Well, wasn't Washington quite at the time, I think, but and I'm not saying this very well, but what I'm getting at is in Article 2, it shows that the power of the legislatures can usurp the power of what hadn't been the popular election process yet. So if the popular vote is flawed or broken, our legislatures can step in and look at that and examine that. And if they need to, they can rule the election of their own state as invalid and make a decision from there. So the power lies within the state legislatures.
Yes.
To determine the electors for the Electoral College, and every state does this on December 14th. Okay? Every state is meeting, their legislators are meeting on that day to affirm the process of how they determine the electors. And so for you know, decades and decades, it's been that they're simply affirming what the popular vote of their state is. It seems to be more of a formality, but it's an important one that we continue because it goes back to the founding principles they had of how it would be selected. So if the state of Michigan, for example, decides, well, there was too much funny business surrounding how this election went, they have a few options there. They can go back, they can review, they can say, well, we could, we are going to seize the initiative here and determine the electors ourselves. And, or they could actually say, well, they could strike a deal with their governor and say, we could do the electors ourselves, or we could have a new election in the state of Michigan and try and, you know, fix the popular vote that they may deem as having been broken. So this isn't over with yet on that sense. So Article 2 does provide that protection that that the state legislatures do have that ultimate power and responsibility.
Well, that's really good news. I know that I don't know if you ever saw the video that Carlos Zapata did at the Board of Supervisors, but it had 25 million hits.
I had my colleagues from other states coming up to me on the House floor, like, "Do you have Shasta County? you have a guy on there who I saw a video of." Yes, it's been noticed.
That's good.
Carlos and myself were on InfoWars on Alex Jones' show, and we were on there a couple weeks ago, and that evening we had about 6,000 hits. I thought that was pretty good. I woke up the next morning, we had 135,000 hits. By the time I got off the phone with Wynn, in 15 minutes we were at 145,000 hits. We were told that we had a viewership of somewhere around 30 million. So we've been asked to go back on there again, and also Fox News has reached out. I think the consensus of people right now is that, you know, Carlos is pretty much every man. There's a lot of frustration going on. And frankly, Doug, I've known you for a long time, and, you know, I can see that right now. I mean, I really saw something in you yesterday in watching that video, and that it's always been there. I don't mean to sound condescending. It's always been there. But the point is, I know that you've reached a point now where you're saying, hey, you know, the gloves have got to come off. We've got to get rid of this tyranny. Where do you think your colleagues stand in Congress with all of this?
I know I have many colleagues that are equally as exercised about this. And one of them mentioned that at the time, was it January 5 or 6 when the electoral vote envelopes are open, as presided over by the vice president. I did this I was in the room 4 years ago. I like to be on the front row seat of this stuff, this history, you know. And when Biden was presiding over the election of Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the House floor. It's a very unique moment in time. And so I have colleagues and myself that if this hasn't been resolved to the satisfaction, and you know, Biden may have won, right? We have to kind of think in the back of our minds, maybe he actually did get enough votes, you know? But we have to prove that first, right? And I think there's 70 million Republicans or Trump voters around this country that don't quite believe that yet. So, and we're quite right in asking that question, because when there's that much stuff going on with people being locked out of the room of being able to review the votes and votes coming in after the election day in Pennsylvania, even though the law on the books, Act 77 in Pennsylvania, says all ballots must be in by 8 p.m. on election night. That used to be California's law. You know, I mean, if you can't figure out how to get your vote in on time or your IRS document on time, then there's going to be a penalty. Penalty to IRS is you're going to get fines and interest. The penalty on votes is that your vote isn't going to be counted if you can't figure out how to get it into the voting place at 8 p.m. on election night. That used to be the thing. Well, now everybody has the dog ate my homework, and we're making excuses for everybody not getting anything done. We're lowering standards for what it takes to get a college degree and get a driver's license and everything else just so we can all get dumber, right?
Yep. Amen.
Honestly.
Yeah, so, no, you're right, yeah.
And so we have to draw the line somewhere. And so Judge Alito on Friday finally said, you know, keep those votes separate. I think they were supposed to do that already, but I'm not sure they were, because the Supreme Court flubbed the deal, you know, 2 weeks earlier with a 4-4 count before Amy Barrett was on there. You know, Judge Roberts, a turncoat on that deal, said, well, we're not going to interfere with Pennsylvania's deal. I guess they had to wait until after the damage was done And so Alito comes in on Friday and says, keep those ballots separate that came in late, because that would be in direct defiance of a law on the books, Act 77, that was passed by both houses of legislature and signed by a Democrat governor in Pennsylvania. So I don't know what year it was, but it doesn't matter. And that the election ends at 8 p.m. on election night. And as and the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, full of liberals, just ruled, like, well, we're going to add 3 more days to it. Well, why not 5? Why not 10? What other number do you want to make up? You know, because the all because of COVID. Well, nonsense. You've had months and months of COVID to figure out how to do other things. Everybody seems to know how to go down to Home Depot, and they can go down to the store, and they can go join a protest somewhere. But, oh, my gosh, it's so hard to figure out to put my ballot in the mail a week before the election or get it postmarked timely enough to do it. So It's nonsense. And so what you saw me yesterday, you're right, Terry, is it's always been in me, but I'm a calm guy, okay? I keep my cards close, and I save my shots for when I really, really need them, right?
That's wise. That's very wise.
I don't know. I kind of like it when you get pissed off.
Well, I mean, yes, but if I do that every time, that
no, you know, no,
anymore,
no.
Right?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So you're like the dad that never spanks the kids, and then when you spank them, it really means something. I've got it.
Yeah, I guess so. So you know, we're certainly not done yet, but I have to be frank with you in my view of it. The path is a very narrow, very difficult one for it to happen. The Supreme Court may not save us on this thing, you know. I had the chance during my time in D.C. to be at some pretty incredible events, and one time it was a breakfast with Judge Alito, you know, Antonin Scalia. Both Italian names, I guess. Justice Scalia, and that was pretty awesome, you know. And I could ask him questions. But in hearing in his dissertation that morning with us, he said, you know, it isn't really up to the Supreme Court to clean up you all legislators' mess. We interpret. And so I actually cheer him on. And Judge Gorsuch has been pretty similar in that. Sometimes there's been a ruling or two where Gorsuch, some people disappointed, we didn't fix this thing that, you know, the federal agencies are doing. Like, well, he's actually long-term correct. Constitutionally, the court isn't supposed to be fixing, it isn't supposed to be counter-legislating. You know, if a previous court basically legislated from the bench, it doesn't make it right that a higher court, the highest court, would re-legislate the other way. It can throw things out, but it's still up to the legislators who are duly elected by the people every 2 years or 4 years or 6 years, depending, you know, which office, to make the laws right, and then you hold them up to, then the courts compare them to the Constitution.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yep, and that's well put. That's well said, because there's been so much usurping of power by the different branches of government. We've had that in California with Newsom, and we've had that, we've had that issue to where the governor here in California, and I don't have to tell you about him, you already know. The thing is that he has come out and said, yeah, hey, you know, basically, I'm the king. There's a lot of issues going on here. There's a lot of laws that have been broken. I know that James Gallagher and Kevin Kiley, they did a great job. In fact, Wynn Carpenter, my partner, was in the courtroom with them and was one of the 11 people that got to go in. And we watched it all live, and I thought those guys did a great job. You know, they really went ahead and they put forth some great things. The challenge is that, as you said, the courts now are almost, they're making law. You know, you made a good point yesterday in talking about how, you know, how the courts just said, oh, well, hey, you know, we'll just throw everything out the window that's been legislated, and we're just going to let this thing go on for an extra 3 days.
Yeah, that's a dangerous thing. You know, we could, and the bigger picture with all this is that we're not talking about our disappointment with how it's going for Trump right now. We're talking about a bigger constitutional issue here. You know, I mean, if we were to reform the election process, which is the Democrats they're moving everything in the direction of anti-reform. You know, when I was a state senator, I was a member of the committee down there, and there's only two Republicans on the committee at the time. I think Senator Nielsen's on it now these days. And so you're way outnumbered, and frequently one of my colleagues was in another simultaneous committee. So I'd be the only guy in the room on our side disputing the legislation that was coming through, making it more difficult to do initiatives, you know, for the people's voice. I mean, we're not a democracy, but if we're a republic. But if we're anything close to a democracy, I guess our initiative process in California is that. It's a chance for the people to rise up when the legislature won't and have a voice. So, you know, you kind of saw that with that Prop 22, with the Uber and Lyft piece of legislation that restored at least that piece under that horrific AB5 bill that was passed by that horrible woman, Lorena Gonzalez, who has a campaign account open to run for Secretary of State when Padilla is termed out in 2 years. I don't know if you knew that.
Interesting.
She has as good a shot
of anybody right now as becoming the next Secretary of State of California, governing elections and corporations and things like that.
Now, are you able to stay with us? We have to take a break.
Yeah, let's. Yeah,
fantastic. Okay, fantastic. Okay, folks. Congressman Doug LaMalfa, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
KCNR 96.5 FM and KCNR1460.com and AM 1460 are honoring our veterans this holiday season by offering Operation Holiday Salute 2020. During the months of November and December, we are offering a discounted advertising package including one live appearance during Free Fire Radio for businesses that support our veterans. And the best part is, a portion of that package price goes to support homeless veterans. Call KCNR today at 530-605-4565.
Pulse Urgent Care is happy to announce the reopening of our urgent care clinic. Our hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and closed on Sundays. To protect the patients and the staff, we will continue to follow the recommendations on social distancing and face coverings. If you have or had a fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 14 days, please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for screening. Check out our website and Facebook page for more information. PulseUrgentCareCenter.com, 100 East Cypress Avenue. If it's urgent for you, it's important to
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us. For a better us.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Big Don, Big Don.
Every morning at the office you can see him arrive. He stands 6'2" and weighs 195. Now some don't like him, some think he's hip, but all agree he gives a lot of lip. Big Don,
Big Don, Big Don. Big Bad Don.
Sally does the music.
I've never heard that before, and it's beautiful.
Big Don.
Yeah, Sally. DJ. Thank you, baby. Yeah.
Hey, before we go, get back with Doug, I just wanted to thank Doug. Actually, I want to thank his beautiful wife, Jill. If it wasn't for Jill, for all these years of Doug being able to do public service the way he's been doing it, it wouldn't be happening. She is a stellar lady for supporting him and keeping the fires burning on the home front. And, you know, with the kids, the businesses, and family stuff, and all that good stuff, and just making decisions that have to be made and doing things that have to be done. And so I want to thank her, because I know a lot of the folks that are supporting our elected officials do not get the kudos and praise and thanks that they deserve. So thank you very much to Jill, and we appreciate everything you're doing. I also want to thank Doug for last December, my son and his fiance at the time were in Washington, D.C., and you took them into the chambers, and they got to witness what was going on there. So thank you, Doug. That was awesome. They are now married, and they talk about it every once in a while, so it was fun, and it was very impactful for them being, you know, young people going into that, checking it out. It was very good, and I thank you very much for doing that.
Well, sure. It's if somebody comes all the way from the West Coast to D.C. for, you know, whatever purpose, we certainly try to, make it better and spend time with them if at all possible, and just make the trip a little bit better than if they just wandered into town alone, you know. So, because I totally get that. And think about it. You know, just to get to D.C., you have to book airline tickets. You have to hope you can get a decent price. You have to go drive to probably Sacramento, park your car for a week. It's going to cost you, you know, $60-$80 or something to park your car. And you get on the plane, and you're going to have to stop somewhere like Chicago or Denver or Houston or someplace and get on another plane and fly in. And then you got to get a cab, and it's going to cost you $50-$60 to take a cab if you got to come from Dulles or Baltimore. Then you got to get a hotel that's going to be $180 a night unless you stay way out of town. And then there's all the cab rides and train rides and the expensive restaurants. So when I see what it goes through to get there, unless you're a super clever traveler and got it all figured out, it's not
that's
easy.
True.
And then you got to get past security and all this COVID nonsense. They got everything shut down. You can hardly take anybody inside the Capitol. I got to practically sneak them in to show them their Capitol, their rotunda, and all that. So it's and that's all just the whim of Pelosi there on how the Capitol is going to be, and they've had it, you know, much more clamped down there. And so, if you guys know me at all, you know we don't just take no for an answer. the office motto is never take no from a bureaucrat. So.
There you go.
Anyway, Congressman, we have Mark Baird on the line. Mark, how are you? Are you there, Mark?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, anyway, we've got Congressman.
Well, I know Mark well. We have a couple things we're working on with him right
I
now.
Love
that
you,
that balls right there.
I can't
not
hear you
know
anymore.
From a bureaucrat on a very important thing he's trying to get done up north. You know, and it's something that's important to the community. And like, well, the agency involved, like, well, we don't know, and we actually have to say, oh, it's going to be really hard to process this permit. Really hard? It's your freaking job to do that. You're the one making it hard. Make the permit easier. You know, so we pounded away on that, and we're getting a result on that. And why does it take the congressional office to even have to step in for these people to do their job? It's just maddening. And so, you know, we talk about, all right, well, Doug, you're in the minority. What are you guys going to get done back there? Like, well, we're not going to, you know, hit a whole lot of home runs on the legislative side, so we've really strengthened our focus on how we can do better with district issues and, you know, helping our constituents, which we've always done, but you really have to double down the focus on that, especially after all the fires, the campfire and the car fire and the numerous fires this year. That, anyway, I could go on all day, but what else is on your mind?
Kemosabe, it's up to you, buddy. What you got?
Well, I was, first of all, how you doing, Congressman? I respect you tremendously. I vote for you every time. I think you're one of the champions of liberty in California, and I hope that you retain that seat and go as far as you can possibly go with it. But what I wanted to point out was one of the big drivers of this voter fraud that California pioneered, by the way, with ballot harvesting and so on, and I also want to point out that I have firsthand knowledge of an investigation that revealed voter fraud in Siskiyou County, and the Secretary of State did nothing about it because, according to his investigator, and this is a quote, Secretary Padilla wants everybody to vote, even illegal aliens. So I know that it happens, but California pioneered this process with ballot harvesting and this Dominion software. And if you notice, the Dominion software is used in every battleground state where there were glitches that gave Trump votes to Biden, there were glitches where all of a sudden 100,000 votes or 20,000 votes or whatever the number was show up, but not one single one of them had a vote for anyone except president. They didn't vote for any of the down tickets. All the only votes on those ballots that were miraculously counted were a vote for Biden, and not one single one of those votes went to Trump. So I just want to warn people that big tech and their ability to control what you hear, what you see, what you think is in firm control of this nation. Unless we get a handle on it right now, we are lost. And also consider this. Something approaching half of the people in this nation voted for people who consider the murder of the unborn acceptable, who consider compiling enemies lists of Trump supporters, just like Mao did in the Cultural Revolution in the 60s, acceptable, and who think that big tech and global interests should control this country. Your free speech, your ability to speak, your ability to communicate that speech with other people through electronic media. They control your free speech literally, and even censored the president on election night so that he couldn't speak out. The president of the United States was censored on election night so that he couldn't speak out by Twitter, owned by Jack Dorsey. And in addition to that, they favor big government, more taxes, more regulation, and the abolition of your Second Amendment rights. Think about that for a second, and then think about whether you want to write a check to help Congressman LaMalfa and help the President of the United States stop this nonsense before we all wake up with a little red book under our pillow.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, when you stop and think about what's going on in our country, and you stop and think about what all the corruption, you know, at this particular point in time, that, you know, a lot of people talk about revolution. Well, frankly, this wouldn't be a revolution. It'd be a restoration. We already have our rights from God, and they're protected by the Constitution of the United States of America. So we need to restore those rights. And I think that the two men we have on the phone here both tremendously understand that. The other thing Wynn and I were talking about is we'd like to do, maybe we can get this going, is we'd like to get both of you in studio and maybe move to the next program sometime here to where you come in a little later. I'll talk with Mark Kent about that. And we get the two of you in together to discuss what's going on in our state and in our country. I think it'd be
right.
A great thing.
It's always easier when the people we're talking to are in the studio live, mm-hmm. because then we can interact much better. We can write notes so we can prompt each other on discussion. And it makes it a lot easier. It's much more difficult to do it over the phone as we're doing it. So, and everybody knows that. So it's just make it easier if you're both willing to do that. We'd be very grateful for that to happen, and I know our listeners would as well.
You know, and Colin,
well, maybe we could record that sometime. I'll just be creep around us with your 90-minute drive each way on Sunday morning after a week.
Yeah, we'll record it.
If you guys
can do that, sure.
We have to do a recording sometime.
Sure.
That'd be pretty good.
Sure.
I'm a little tired right now. I guess.
You
say.
Think?
A little. Well, I mean, there's a little mental.
Yeah.
Fatigue.
Yeah.
Amen
to that.
Been through an election process here, and I'm not whining or complaining. I also enjoyed a little bit about what we were doing personally on our election, but you just got to take a breather once in a while on things too. But there's still lots to do, and our focus is, Mark was saying, on what we can do to help the president right now, and
mm-hmm.
another very important factor too. We can't get lost in this. We still have dual purpose here, is that we have a Georgia election that's coming in January, the runoff under the silly rules they have down there, for two United States Senate seats, it looks like. One's kind of a special election, one's a regularly scheduled one, that will make the difference in the United States Senate. So, you know, if this thing with the White House ends up not going well, the U.S. Senate is going to be the only backstop we have. The House
mm-hmm.
isn't going to be much help because Pelosi's still going to, or whoever they make as Speaker, the Democrats, she might get dumped. Who knows? I don't think so. But, and if the White House, goes bad, if we don't win these two Senate seats, or at least one of them, but we need to win both. Those are Republican seats, and Georgia needs to, be scrutinized here again. You will have Kamala Harris presiding over tie-breaking votes in the U.S. Senate. Okay? How did we get
would
here?
Would you please
how
tell us
happen?
How we can contribute money to help with that? We need to, we can't show up. We're too far away, but we can help with money. How can we contribute
can help
to
with,
that effort?
You can help with money, and we're also going to look for ways, is there ways people can phone bank, And so we who knows? We might have a headquarters for this. We're still working on this right now. Where people that can't always give money, they can give their time, right? And so, yep. And certain individuals might want to go to Georgia and be on the ground there walking. You know, there's ways things, people can do things if they have time or treasure to help. So watch our website at DougLaMalfa.com. There's a place you can sign up for. And you know, somebody that was on social media saying, all you want to do is collect more money. That's the last thing I want. I hate fundraising personally. And our website is not going to be a scheme to collect money for me, and then maybe I'll give it to the Senate or not. This is all based directly on trying to help directly those two Senate campaigns. So I would direct you, you know, in that, when we get that website all fully up to speed on this topic, since it's become evident in the last couple of days we need to work on the Georgia Senate races, that you contribute directly to those campaigns or to the National Republican Senate Committee, whichever is the most effective tool. Time or treasure to directly help those Senate seats is what I'll be asking people as we get our arms around, you know, the methods for doing so. So, you know, but setting up phone banks, you know, we're talking about how we can do that locally. Because, and we need, you know, poor old Georgia. It's going to be the entire country now, those two Senate seats. You saw how much money they raised against Mitch McConnell and how much money they raised against Lindsey Graham. Now, with the very, very real prospect that these two seats could make the difference on a tie in the Senate, then you know all the Hollywood weirdos, the Silicon Valley weirdos, the foreign money that's going to come in and try to be laundered from George Soros or Communist China, there is going to be just the focal point of maybe not the whole country, but a big part of the world on trying to sway those two seats. We need David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler to be able to hold those seats. The times are just getting more and more critical and more, I don't want to say the word desperate, but, that's what this election was. And so when people say, well, okay, I saw people this morning on media saying, well, that's the way it goes, come back in 4 years. Well, this isn't Jimmy Carter. This isn't even Bill Clinton. This isn't some other, you know, more lower-key Democrat from the past. These people, if they are allowed to be in charge, they're coming for us. They're coming for what we do. They're coming for our water supply, for our dams. They will let our timber burn. They're going to come for our guns. You know, Kamala said it. Biden said it. Biden has said he's going to make us wear a mask all the time. He wants to do that, you know. Then they back off a little bit. You know, I mean, these guys, they do one thing in one part of their career, then they, and the politics get sticky, then they back away from it, you know. Biden was Mr. Tough on crime, you know, back in 94 on the crime bill. Kamala Harris was allegedly tough on crime as either as a district attorney in SF or attorney general, you know. Well, not really. They hate corporations. They hate business. They hate people that do things, you know. So they don't stand for anything solid there. So this, and so what the angst we're all feeling is that we know this is not like the past.
Yes,
people that are in place now are supporting Antifa. They don't know it. They don't think Antifa exists. They support all these crazy things that are nothing like what Bill Clinton would have tried to get away with back then, or Jimmy Carter, or whoever.
You know, a lot of people think that we don't have 4 years. I mean, China. I mean, there's a lot of we're sort of just not paying attention to China. I mean, even on a local level, and I think that China is in cahoots with these guys. I think that there's an. I don't think we have 4 years. I just don't think we have it. I think that a lot of clear thinking people don't think so. And I think there's a lot of people, 70 million of us, probably more than that, that believe that if Trump didn't get in, that's sort of the end game. And I think that the main thing is to understand that once we restore these things, we have to go through certain avenues. So what I like is I'd like to hear what, let's just say that scenario does come true. Let's just say that the scenario comes true with Biden. We're all hoping and praying it doesn't. But if it does, where do we go from there? We don't have 4 years to wait for the next guy. Any thoughts on that, Congressman?
Oh yeah. Well, I tend strongly to agree with. I don't know. You know, how many torpedoes can you put in the side of the original ship of state of the United States? You know, how many can she take before you're just taking on more water than what you can handle, right? And I don't mean to be a doom and gloomer here, but this is how grave this situation is, right?
Yes.
Because look at the prospects for the Biden cabinet should this happen. I've heard that they want to take the chair of the California Air Resources Board, Mary Nichols, and put her in charge of the USEPA. I've heard that one, okay? USEPA. And you've seen how aggressive the EPA has been under previous Democrats, where, you know, the water's the United States rules, and they think they can just wave a wand and tell you what kind of car you can have or what kind of miles per gallon the car's going to get. They're going to be right back on saying, requiring, I mean, this is just cars, and you know I'm a car guy anyway, so it's kind of a outside of politics. It's one of my little loves, I guess. But they already had mandated that all cars sold by the year 2025 have to average 54.5 miles per gallon. Okay, so I'd ask you and all your listeners, how many miles per gallon does the car that you choose get? What do you think a 54.5 mile per gallon car looks like? It's not like anything that 99% of your listeners are driving. Okay, there's those little tiny cars with two seats in them that kind of look more like coffins than cars. Okay, this is what they will force you to buy. You already have Newsom saying that by 2035, no more combustion engine vehicles can be sold here by a wave of the wand, and I don't think that's been a mandate yet, but this legislature, which has over three quarters in both houses in Sacramento, they can pass that just, you know, no problem. And we have to live that. So what we're seeing with this election, if the Harris-Biden crew takes over, you know, a lot of people are trying to escape California. Well, where do you escape when you Californiaize the whole country, which these people will are trying to do.
Jefferson.
The only stopgap is going to be the United States Senate. Okay? This is what's going to be the firewall for the next 2 years if this election holds as is. So these two seats in Georgia are the critical thing that we can take an action on right now. People that keep, you know, asking, Doug, what can we do? What can we do? I don't know of anything regular citizens can do right now during this court fight and the other things that are being investigated on the election. Should it come down to petitioning state legislatures to do their Article 2 duties, then that's a point where people can come in and start lighting up the phone lines in the state of Michigan, the state of Pennsylvania, the state of Georgia, perhaps, or Arizona. All four of those states have Republican majorities in both of their houses. You didn't know that, maybe. And so how did that happen in Pennsylvania? Well, thankfully, rural America comes in for and saves the day. Even in Michigan, they have Republican majorities in Michigan. So these guys are going to need some backbone to do what needs to be done if the investigations are, they're going to need some pretty solid proof to make that. You know, you understand. It's going to have to be pretty solid that there's the level of fraud that you can have the state legislature come in and dump a popular vote, right?
Yep.
Dump the vote of the people. You know, I mean, you'll have all the Republicans cheering them on, but you're going to have Democrats, the media, and every other talker out there saying, you guys are now you're stealing the vote of the people. You can imagine how the caterwauling is going to be 24/7 on CNN and PMSN.
Oh, yeah,
that,
crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
Mark, but if they've cheated,
mm-hmm.
and it's far and wide enough and provable, then it's going to be their obligation to do something about it. So my picture of that is that either the legislators themselves pick the electors, or they can strike a deal with their Democrat governors in some of those states and say, we can have a do-over on this election, but here's the parameters of how the election is going to be. It has an end date, it has an end time, it has voter ID, and it has a cleansing of the voter rolls of who actually is alive and who's a resident of our state and who is a civilian of citizen of this country. Those are all common sense parameters,
sure.
Anyway. But you see the Democrats screaming for years, this is all voter suppression and it's racist.
That's exactly
right. You know, it's such nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
I have stronger words than that. But,
Anyway, Mark, do you have any thoughts on that? We've got about 7 minutes left, guys. What are your thoughts, brother?
Yeah, I do. I think the congressman is absolutely right about everything he said. And in fact, I think because he's a gentleman on the radio, he's understated
to a
significant degree. But here's the deal. I mean, we're in what Winston Churchill called stage three. We need to fight just to decide whether we die free or a slave. I mean, this is the fight we're in, and I don't mean a physical fight. I mean a legal, moral, ethical, political fight. But our national outcome depends upon this, and whether you want to be a citizen of the only constitutional republic known to this world in the last 6,000 years, or if you would like to be a citizen of the socialist America created in the Democrats' choosing, akin to California, where you have a mono party, where you have a lot of state races that only have one party on the ballot. I've been to Russia and I've been to China many, many times. I've been all over the world. And as I've said in speeches, I've been to every socialist pesthole on earth. It doesn't work. It can't work. It won't work. And millions of people have suffered and died when people tried to do it different, because if we just do it different, it'll work this time. Ask the people of Cuba. Ask the people of Venezuela. Ask the people of Rwanda, Central African Republic, Democratic People's Republic of Congo, Zimbabwe, China, Tibet. Ask them whether that works, and they'll tell you no, not only no, but hell no. Fight like your life depends on it, and fight like your children's liberty depends on it, because it does. And we're not going to get a million chances at this.
No, we won't, Mark.
You know,
we've already seen it even under the freedom that President Trump has fought and tried to provide with his power of the federal government. This big tech thing, the way our speech is being limited, the way our ability to worship is being limited, the way that we're ridiculed for being Christians or Jews or whatever, you know, I mean, it's already in front of us under the freedom we have now. And you watch these guys close the pincers on us with their use of the federal government and the agencies that they would be in charge of. We're not going to have the ability to express ourselves the way we are, because in other countries they call what we're talking about hate speech. I think Canada has that. I think England has that. So if you say the wrong thing, someone shows up and they cuff you over having a vigorous discussion. And I think we saw that right in your backyard there. There's a certain blog there in Reading that, and then I think I made it on the Channel 7 News. A guy down in Cottonwood, he made a Facebook post. And his post itself was pretty innocuous. It's about, hey, we need to stand up and fight. They tried to turn it into some type of crazy militia,
right,
terrorist.
Right, you know.
And that was done right under our noses.
Right under our noses. And, you know, Congressman, the thing is that you mentioned something right off the get-go. You mentioned things have to be done legally. I would bet that 71 million people, probably more, that voted for Donald Trump, they're looking for arrests, Congressman. We're not looking to sue anybody anymore. We want to see these guys arrested. And I know that in Shasta County, we had one young man who went in and did do a citizen's arrest, which is still pending on the Board of Supervisors here. That happened in Nevada County. And from what I hear, it's going to happen in Butte County. That's really the thing. People are looking for people that are corrupt in government to be arrested. And I think that's a whole program in itself. I hope that that Mr. Barr, when he does read your letter and he does hopefully respond to all you folks who wrote that out of Congress, thanks again, that there's a response of saying, okay, some heads need to roll. What say you?
I agree, and I would hope that Attorney General Barr and the people he can trust in the DOJ have already been moving on. It didn't take our letter for that. So let me back up quick on the Board of Supervisors here, though, at the various counties. Now, I know many of these folks. Some of them I have a lot of faith in, some I don't. But we have to also consider what method that we're using to try and exert our citizens' voice here.
We have a minute.
And the supervisors, I think, are dealing from a point of weakness, because they're afraid of what the governor and the state is going to do to them. Not all of them are necessarily wanting to be part of this shutdown and such, but they're looking at the dollars, they're looking at this or that. So I wouldn't say most of them are insidious in this thing. It's just that maybe it's just they're playing from a weak hand, or maybe they don't have the backbone, some of them, to be really standing up to this, because the people are ready to stand up to what the governor's doing. And, you know, Shasta's purple now because, what, somebody had a picnic somewhere and some infections broke out, or they're trying to blame the church, which actually shouldn't get blamed. You know, so anyway, there's so much going on. But thank you for having me, okay?
All right, brother. Thank you so much. And, Congressman, thank you so much for coming on. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
All have to pay. It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.